Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We just finished a series, and today what I'd like to do before we open up our next series that we're going to do is I want to do something. We just call it Bible study. We've been doing this, and we've done it a few times now, and you'll understand more why we call it that as we get into it. And I want to preface what I'm going to talk about today by saying that if you are a first-generation Christian, you're going to have to put a little effort into understanding and recognizing what I'm talking about. Those of you who have been around a while, it's going to register really high with you, and it's going to explain some things having to do with our history as God's people, having to do with recent history of the thing called the church. It might explain offenses a little bit. It might explain strife a little bit in church. It just will help you out. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. But I really want to invite you to just disarm, bring the wall down, open up, and let's learn together, let's grow together. There's going to be a magnificence about God's Word that's going to be revealed to you today in just connecting some dots, and you're going to like that part of it as well. So my message title is Lively Stones, and I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to read this scripture to you. It's verse 5. It says, "You also like living stones." And those are the two words that I want you to focus on. Everybody say living stones.
Living stones.
Say it again, living stones.
Living stones.
One more time, living stones.
Living stones.
Now just say it in a different way. Say lively stones.
Lively stones.
Are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, the point I'm making here and drawing attention to is that there are two contradicting terms that Peter uses to describe the spiritual house that God is building in the time he wrote this, but it was prophetically as well that God would build and is going to build on the earth. And he gave this word picture of what that spiritual house would be made up of. And you don't think of stones as having life. You think of a stone as something to build with, but you think of it as lifeless. Am I right about that? And you don't think of anything alive as having the character of a stone. In fact, if you're going to build with something, the first thing you do is you take the life out of it. You cut the tree down before you use its wood. You slaughter the cow or kill the cow before you have the leather to make the sofa and put on your shoes. So when you put these two terms next to each other, I remember the first time I looked at this years ago and I read it and how I just couldn't get away from it. And that's what I'm going to share with you about today, is that there's what appears to be a conflict of terms. And let me just say this before I show you some other scriptures. Before there were personality tests and before there were things like Strengths Finder, y'all know what I'm talking about? DISC test, D-I-S-C test. Like, before there was any of that that we were using, there were writers in scripture who wrote prophetically about two different kinds of people who would be at the center of what God would do on the earth. Now, with that in mind, go to Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it reads like this, and there are some of you with a church background that you could almost quote this. Like, this was the thesis. This was the scripture. If you had a church background in certain various forms of Christianity, here's what it says. "Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people." Now let me get a little bit of that. Let me get a little bit of that in my tone. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. You feel it? Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And your old men, they're going to dream dreams. And your young men are going to see visions. Uh-huh. Now I want you to go over to Isaiah 2. By the way, let me say this about Joel 2. I read it out of the NIV text, and it said afterward. But I want you to know that some versions of that Joel scripture literally start with the same exact phraseology as the first four words in Isaiah. So it's the same time frame, in the last days. In the last days. So anything that is after the old covenant is thought of in scripture as new covenant and last day. And here's what he says, in the last days or afterward, the mountain of the Lord's temple is going to be established as chief among the nations. It will be raised above the hills and all nations will stream. Talking about the house of God, the house that God would build. And he's saying that it's going to be elevated. It's going to be something that is in all nations, and nations will stream into it. And if you read on in Isaiah's writings, prophetic writings, he talks about how people will be taught the ways of God in the house of the Lord. He talks about the wisdom that would be available to people to learn God's ways, judging and settling disputes, and proclaiming peace, and proclaiming productivity, and proclaiming strength in the house of God. Two different legitimate voices, Isaiah and Joel, speaking prophetically about what the church would become, which wasn't even a word back then. What the church would become, a combination of two kinds of people that would be brought together to make up what is called by Peter the spiritual house. So first of all, you have lively people, which are Joel people. And secondly, you have solid as a rock people, which are what I call Isaiah people. Okay? So I've got some helpers here today. Cabe is coming and Christian is coming to help me out. And as you guys come, yeah, give them a hand. Okay, so you are no longer Cabe, you are Joel. Everybody say, hey Joel, what's up? And you are no longer Christian. You are a Christian, but you are Isaiah. You are Isaiah. Everybody say, go Central. How's that? That make you feel more comfortable? It's a quarterback at Central right there.
Let's go.
So, by the way, you got a big night coming up, right?
March 29th.
Who's here?
Jedediah.
Dodgeball tournament. All right. Just throwing that in for all the young people. Okay, so Joel people are mostly subjective. And how they feel is how they interpret something. They're not real interested in data and graphs and studies and evaluations. They usually, though, have no hesitation and no problem entering into prayer and praise and worship. Like, music starts, Joel's on. Joel's ready. If you let Joel, Joel will get up in the front. Joel's ready to go. Joel people are experiential. They are mostly interested in discussing experiences, like what they've been going through and what they feel like God is showing them. And if you're with a Joel person, like, they might just like ask you right straight on, like, what's God been saying to you lately? The theme scripture for Joel people would be like something like, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yep.
Isaiah people, solid as a rock people, on the other hand, they measure progress in literal visible ways. Like, they're more interested in building something than in a feeling. They're calculated. They desire understanding. They value learning and wisdom and truth. And like, some of their favorite scriptures might be, on this rock I will build my church. Or, in all you're getting, get wisdom and get understanding. What we see God doing is bringing Joel people and Isaiah people together. In the time that we live in, a few years ago, there were not churches like Champion Center. You were either a Joel church or you were an Isaiah church. And what we see God doing is that we see God building a house. And I want to let everybody know, it's not by default, it's by design, that we're ending up in the same space and in the same place to be lively stones. Lively stones. You want to say it with me? Say it again. So the challenge, though, is in overcoming the conflict that the differences create and managing the tension between these two to form a house that honors God. Because see, Joel people, they can sometimes see Isaiah people as lacking life. They quench the spirit.
Every time.
All the time, right? They just. Isaiah people can sometimes see Joel people as wild and flaky, and somebody needs to put a bridle on those folks.
Come on.
But both are necessary. I said both are necessary to the house of lively stones. Now, when I'm saying this, I just want to tell you, if you have a tendency to go one way or the other, you're not the first one. Like, your way is the right way. You're trying to convert the other side. And it's really hard for you to even accept the value of both. So you would insist on your church all being like you. But I want to ask you, can we get a little thought going here? Like, do you like to sleep or eat? Do you like to shower or brush your teeth? You're getting it. If you have a car, do you want an engine or a steering wheel? Can we talk? See, to give you a little bit of background on myself, I grew up in a Joel house, but I'm more in just who I am. I'm more Isaiah. So as I came up through, you know, I was part of the church and I was second generation pastor, and I couldn't figure out like the fit. And I didn't fit in completely in either house. And it felt really odd. It felt strange. And then I started noticing that I wasn't the only one. I started noticing that the same, I was starting to identify with other people, many of them my own age. That it was like there was something different that God was saying. And there was something that God, a work that God was doing. And so people always, like, even to this day, they want to know, that, especially like the Isaiah kind of people, they want to know, well, I want to know what kind of church is this? Like what denomination? You belong to a denomination? Well, no, like, no. They're looking for a box. And it's like, can I call you evangelical? I'm like, yeah. It's okay, that's cool. Are you charismatic? Yeah, I guess you could say that too. And I found that we didn't fit. And then it was interesting to me that as time went on and I started seeing outside of my world, and I realized, whoa, this is happening everywhere. This is a lot bigger than just me. Like when I was a kid, and it didn't start just with us, but I am really proud and thankful for the ministries and the pastors and the church leaders that I feel like are my peers in the age and the time where we started like breaking the mold, and we didn't fit either place. And I know some of you that sounds like odd or strange, and you, but I grew up in a Joel house, but we went and hung out with Isaiah people. And I remember as a kid, my dad is a Holy Spirit man. And I remember as a kid, the Notre Dame University was not far from us. And so my dad would get invited over to talk about the Holy Spirit at Notre Dame University. And I remember many times at night, late at night, when priests and nuns would fill the hallways in the living room of our home in prayer meetings. It was odd to me. And like I hear mom and dad talking about, well, they just want to know more about the Holy Spirit. They want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I had this world where both were being brought together. But see, Joel people can be too subjective and too superstitious. Even in the Bible, in the book of Acts 17, in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul, he stood up on Mars Hill and he talked to some people at Athens, and he said, you guys are way too superstitious. You're too superstitious. So one big mistake that Joel people can make is that they judge things based on their feelings. So they can make a decision on prophecy, yep, and feelings. And then we have a whole lot of God said gone wrong. Can anybody talk to me? I remember when we first came to the Northwest, and our church was in Puyallup. And a lady one day climbed a tree in the city downtown in Puyallup in her bathrobe. And when the fire trucks came and got her out, I remember I was watching the news, and they were trying to find out why she climbed the tree. What was she? Because she got up there and couldn't get down, and they had to come get her down. And she told everybody that the Lord told her to climb that tree and to pray over the city. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, I hope she doesn't go to our church. And if she does, I hope she don't tell nobody. Like, sometimes a Joel person thinks every dream has a meaning. Sometimes it's just a dream. It's what you ate before you went to bed. Like, it's crazy. When I was a kid, I was in a revival. We were in a revival in our small church, and there was an evangelist that came through, and he said that owls were a symbol of evil. And so he told everyone, you go home, and if you have a potholder that has an owl, if you have a picture that has an owl, get it out of your house, because your house is being cursed by the owl in your house, thus saith the Lord. And I'm looking at that, and I'm running home scared and looking for owls. If you're a Joel person, you want to work on not speaking too Christianese. Got to work on it, okay? And also, don't leverage your spiritual verbiage to get your way. Because Joel people do that. Like they're like, the Lord told me that, you know, I needed to be up there singing that song and not her. The Lord spoke to me. You know, Joelette, listen to me, Joelette. You don't go to your husband and say, the Lord told me that you need to be more of a man of God, that says the Lord. Shut up. But what you can do is you can keep telling your stories. And you can keep, and you can help the Isaiah people, by the way, learn how to tell better stories. I'm talking about what the Lord has done for you. I'm talking about what's happening in children's ministry, that you see God all over it. And you're going to tell about the children, the way their hearts are being brought to God and their lives are being changed. Because when a Joel starts telling a story, you feel the story. Isaiah people, on the other hand, you don't feel nothing. Like, they can be really too rigid, too stiff, starchy, dry, overthink, overanalyze, not listening for the Holy Spirit at all, not expecting God to lead them or the Holy Spirit to prompt them or to guide them or to speak to them. Like, they're not factoring in what God is able to do. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Balaam who he's on his donkey, and there's an angel in the road and stops the donkey, and God was trying to help Balaam out. Not supposed to go any further on this road. You're supposed to stop right here, turn around, not go, not head this way. There's danger ahead. And you know, the story is Balaam got off the donkey and he slaps the donkey and he beats the donkey and he kicks the donkey, silly donkey, and finally the Lord spoke through the donkey. Like, man, stop beating up on me. Like, I'm trying to help you out. But the point, if you think about it, is the donkey was more spiritually sensitive than Balaam was. I'm just saying. Isaiah people can be like Balaam. Joel people, they can approach church expecting too much experience. Like, they want all of it in one service. Pray over everybody. Like, let's laugh, let's cry. Let's feel God's presence in the house. Let's ignore the clock. Isaiah people can approach church expecting too little of an experience. It can be like thought for the day, couple of hymns, a little meditation, I'm good. I am good. Joel people, they easily lose interest at teaching time. It irritates me sometimes. Because the very ones that are like this in worship, I get up here and after about 15 minutes, I look out and they're like, and like, you know, come on, man. We still got church going on here. After the song, after the clapping, we still got something valuable. Isaiah people are the opposite. They're like, okay, we stood once, twice. You want me to stand again? I've been thinking about the Isaiah people because we kind of changed our church format, our service form, just recently, you know, just switched it around. We're standing a little more, worshiping a little bit, more before the message, and I thought, yeah, we're going to irritate some Isaiah people. It's going to irritate them a little bit. The other thing about Isaiah people as a pastor I've noticed is that even though they you know, they're into the word, sometimes they just overly, like they can overlook themes of Scripture, dissecting each word and its meaning, and miss the big picture and the real power of a theme, because they're all down in the trenches, digging out the Greek and the Hebrew and being real scholarly about it. Joel people, they can have life with no substance. Like they got a lot of life at church, but at home there's no organization. It's cluttered. Like they'll cast out devils, but they can't clean the house. Can we talk? No sense of order, troubled relationships. You know, they don't know what to do, except like we need to just pray. We need to just pray. Sometimes we need wisdom. Isaiah people, they can be the opposite. They can have substance with no life. Isaiah people, in recent history, they built beautiful cathedrals. I'm going to give them the credit for the cathedrals that are in our cities and all around our nation and the world. But then what happens, they build the cathedrals, and then they don't worship in them. I don't know if you've seen like Westminster Abbey or something like that, those big cathedrals. Hysteria breaks out if somebody claps inside. Like, well, what happened to clap your hands, all you people? Like, well, Isaiah's in charge. Thank God, because many of the Isaiah world deserve the credit because they are planned givers. They're systemized. They're financially committed to the mission of the church. And so they're dialed in. They're dialed in. It's systematic. If they're gonna they don't want us just to have a good time over in Children's. Like, that's great, you go have your party, but make sure you get a verse in them. Make sure you get the word of God in them. That's Isaiah. And so today some of you come from rigid Isaiah houses to become a part of God's church. And to your family and friends, you've become a fanatic. You're crazy. You go to that church where they do that, and they make noise, and they get loud. And then others of you come from a loose Joel background. Lots of noise. Not much progress to show for it, but sweating, dust. Not many people being led to the Lord. And what's also interesting is that marriages oftentimes are made up of both, of a Joel person and an Isaiah. Like, if you think about it, I would say the majority end up this way. And it's not by accident. Right. Sheila's Joelette, I'm Isaiah at the core. But what happens is you start rubbing off on each other. And you become more of the other. And that's the same thing that happens if we're in the house that God's building. Not the house we're building. Not based on our preferences, but based on what He's doing and His plan. Is that we end up rubbing off on each other. And we end up that Isaiah, I know, you know, Isaiah starts to raise a hand. Right? And head goes back. Whoa, heaven is in the house today. And Joel gets his Bible out. And he pinches himself every 5 minutes and slaps himself to stay awake. Because I got to get the Word of God in my life. Right? All I want. Standing by you, Joel. I'm feeling it.
Is to live within your love.
I don't know
who you are.
My desire
is to know you, Jesus.
That's it. I can feel it. Come on.
I do too, man. I feel that too. But you know what? If the house was all Isaiah, you don't have that moment. You don't have that moment. Isaiah's like black and white, clear, no feeling whatsoever. Thank God for Joel. Thank God for Isaiah. So what I want to ask all of you to do is, I want to ask you to let's be the church, the spiritual house that God is building. And when you find yourself wanting to go one way or the other, just stand in the middle and embrace the tension. Because we've been there and we've been there. And it doesn't work. That's not God's plan. He doesn't want this loose, crazy, unbridled Holy Spirit without the foundation and the strength and the wisdom in the house of God. And he doesn't want this educated, sophisticated, high-end church where it's militant and everybody walks around. Nobody wants to go to that church. There's nothing fun in that church. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I'm over time, I know that. But I want to ask you one way. This is just kind of how you do it. Would you, if you're a Joel, how many of you think you're a Joel? Like, I got it, I'm Joel. How many of you think you're an Isaiah? Just primarily. Some of y'all just don't want to admit, you know, but that's okay. If you lean more this way, I want you to be intentional about defending the Isaiahs. Like, if you hear anybody talk about the Isaiahs, you talk about how we need Isaiahs in the house of God. We need Isaiahs. You know what Joel does, by the way? Joel's like, the Holy Spirit was just starting to move. Pastor Kevin, like, let it go. You got up there and opened up your Bible, and God was just getting ready to do something. Isaiah, defend Joel. Yeah. When all your Isaiah pals are like, they're crazy, you defend Joel. Because we need lively stones. Lively stones. Lively stones.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.